1. As we get into this chapter, it deals with the resurrection of the Savior. And without him, we would be truly nothing. God would be done with us. He sent him to suffer, bleed, and die for us. Our key verses this chapter are the last two, which is verses 19 and 20. You got 20 verses, 421 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. If you look at verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As we look at this section of the Matthew chapter 28, I want to preach to you on come see the place. Come see the place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. What an outstanding day today is, Lord. It's the day that you've made. We pray, God, that you'll just help us today, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our understanding of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28, as we've read it here, this first part, we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray, God, that you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we ask all this, believing it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we're taught some important parts about the Lord's resurrection. I guess the most obvious one is that it happened, amen. Thank God for it. He got up from the dead just like amen. He said. And there's no greater joy that a person has when they realize that they don't serve a dead God, they serve a living one. Right. And as we notice our first part in this thing, we see the personal witness down there in verse 1. It says there, about this important part, says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, it says, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Nothing like a personal testimony from people who actually saw this to tell us that he's not there, he's risen. Right. They're going to carry that message back to some guys that don't believe that message, but they're going to believe here in about another 30 minutes, I guess, when they get back over there to where they're at. And the personal testimony of a believer is this. Not that God can save, but that my God can save. Right. He can save anybody, but when he's your God, it's a whole lot different than when he's somebody else's God. Right. And I notice also it says what day that this happened on. They began to worship on Sunday, the day of the resurrection of the Lord. And you've got people right here amongst you today in this passage of Scripture that they started worshiping on the first day of the week. Let all them Sabbath keepers know the Lord has come and he's fulfilled the law. One important type you might need to understand is this. You know where he is at on Sabbath day? He was D-E-A-D dead. And when the believer's in Christ, they're D-E-A-D dead to the law. And you don't no longer have to observe the Sabbath. You're going to come and worship on the first day of the week. And I noticed that in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Well, what happened there? He didn't get them out by 12, amen, but he got them on the right day. He kept them after 12 on the right day. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. I notice that the day they worship the Lord on is the first day of the week. This Sabbath-keeping crowd, you missed the mark. You're trying to put Christ, listen, as the backseat to your Sabbath day, and one day he's going to show up, and he's going to show you that day was set aside for the Jew and the law, and you're neither one of them. Right. And listen to this, to every Jew that's under the law right now, there's freedom in Christ to be delivered from the law. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but fulfill it. Now that the Lamb of God has come, he's fulfilled every part of the law. We don't have to keep the thou shalt nots in order to go to heaven. We don't have to listen. Just because we don't keep them don't mean we're going to hell. But what it does mean is this. If we violated that law, it draws us to Christ that we may be saved. And when he saves us, we realize we're delivered from the law. We're free from the law. And we're free now, untethered. To go follow Jesus Christ and everything that he said in this book to do, and to take on everything and every responsibility we're supposed to as Christians. And most of them can be found just right here in this chapter. And you'll notice that those women came and they said that. And I noticed who showed up there. Here comes this big old lit up dude there and put the keepers down. Now, don't you notice this? The second part of this about the Lord's resurrection is we see the place witnessed here. And if it says in verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So we see that God's angel descended from heaven and came down and sat on that door. He moved it out of the way. It took a grown man a good shove and a track chiseled out as well to push that big old stone to get it in place and seal it up like that. And there you get the Roman soldiers that they asked Pilate to bring down there, come seal that door, and they put the Roman seal on the door, knowing if it's broken, they were there and it couldn't be broken and all that. Then he shows up. And where did he come from? He didn't come from hell beneath. Thank God he came from heaven above. Yep. Get this, and he had no wings. Right. You'll notice as you study the Bible that the angels in the Bible, they all have one thing in common. They're all men, and they're young men. And we get to looking at the fact that we see that they're young men. This man could have been 6,000 or 4,000 years old, something like that, and he still looked like a young man. So what is that? That's what heaven does to somebody after you get there. Amen. You stay young forever. You always feel good. You're never tired. You never run down. You never have cramps. You never have aches and pains and all that. No wonder we want to go to heaven so bad, because we know that that's a place where we'll get our youth back. Say amen right there. You won't get up there and find all us old broke down old gray haired people in heaven. You'll see a lot of young people and babies, amen. And I believe when we get there, we're going to see this guy, and he's going to say, listen, was you the one that did that? And he's going to say, yeah. And he's going to tell you what happened, how them guys quivered and quaked and fell out and everything else. He said, listen, he's going to say, it looked like one of them Pentecostal outfits. That's for being slain in the spirit all over the place when I showed up. Where did he come from? He come from heaven. And the Bible says the description of this angel in verse 3. This is the place witness. So get this. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Can you imagine looking on somebody that looked like that? So why was he look like that? Well, he'd obviously been spending time around the Father. Remember when Moses, when he go spend time with God, what did he look like? He'd come back and put a veil over his face. He didn't have a veil, been spending 4,000 years with God. Here, go take care of this for me. Yes, Lord. He goes right down there, and they describe him as his countenance as light and his raiment white as snow. As he sat there on that thing, when they walked up there and seen that, here's a guy, you look on his face, and it's bright as lightning. If you've ever been around a lightning struck, that's a bright thing. I mean, he's got the whole place lit up in the daylight, and you see his raiment there, and you think about a white, snowy day before anybody gets out in it, how beautiful and glistening that snow is. That's what you're seeing sitting on top of that stone. Oh, and by the way, they saw a lot of people fell out around him where he's at. He did that. Because you'll notice the destruction of God's angel. It says in verse 4, and for fear of him did the keepers shake. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. And listen, he had the whole outfit laid out and never touched him. But I know this, if I was sitting there guarding the thing, worried about a dead man getting up, and here comes somebody down from that direction, and he showed up looking like lightning, had a garment white as snow, I'd be falling out with him in a second. This is the reaction lost people get in the Bible when they see something like that. You'll notice when Jesus asked him, when they come to arrest him, they said, are you he? He said, I am, and they all fell backwards. These guys fell backwards. Can I tell you a little something about the Bible? Everybody that falls backwards in the Bible is lost. Remind you of anybody? Listen, if you got $40 wig on top of your head and you smack people on top of the head, you as fake as they are. Right. Except these guys got it for real.
Right.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
Now notice this. We've got the place witness, we got the personal witness, but here's a third part of it. Look at that in verse 5. The Bible tells us about this man. It says here, it says in verse 5, we see the crucified Lord, because it says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Here are two people, and according to this, is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They've showed up here, and they've showed up to see the crucified Lord. And the powerful word given is this, I know you seek Jesus whom was crucified. Why seek anybody else? They did not know what they were going to walk into, per se. They believed him, and they showed up to honor what was done to him and to bury him properly. I personally believe they knew he was going to rise from the dead. They just wasn't expecting it right then. A lot of people ain't expecting him to do what he does, but he always does it anyway. Why? He's God, and he can. He's not troubled by anything that's going on in the world. Listen, he died on that cross. He's the crucified Lord. He died for us. He became sin for us and knew no sin that we might be made, not become, made the righteousness of God in him. And when we accept Christ and we come to the crucified Lord and we realize that he died for us, we've got part of the message down pat.
Right.
A lot of folks, all they do is talk about a crucified Lord and they think they're doing God's service. That's not the whole message. You're giving part of the message to get somebody part of the way there. But getting part of the way there is going all the way to hell.
Right.
I'm going to promise you this today. Every Roman soldier that saw him crucified that day watched him die, and they believed he was crucified.
Sure.
I promise you every devil in hell was gathered around thinking, thank God somebody's killing him, because now we can run wild and do whatever we want to. They believe he is crucified. I promise you that when he looked over at John and said, son, behold thy mother, and he looked at Mary and said, behold thy son, that they knew he died. They watched him die on that cross. When they come by and they broke the legs of the two thieves, they knew they were crucified, and they'd done that to go ahead and kill them before the Sabbath. When they come to him, he was already dead. They knew he died. And when those ladies showed back up, listen, they were going to do service to him because he is the king.
Right.
And he deserved a burial that was fit for anybody, and they come willing to do that.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. I've heard people try to say, well, they come with the wrong things in hand. Yeah, but they showed up. Now you think about that. They didn't have everything down pat. They didn't have all the I's dotted and T's crossed. They didn't know no better, but they showed up wanting to do something for the Lord and do something in honor of his burial. And because they showed up, because they had a willing heart, listen, if you seek for him, he'll be found of you, and you work with the light you have, and God will put you right where you need to be with him.
That's right.
I've heard of people saying before, well, that preacher down there, he just preaches too much on the King James Bible. There's a reason why. I had what light I had in 1994, working with what I had is what I thought was the Bible. I wanted more of God, and I asked for more of God, and I got more of God. I got closer to him here. Now I don't have something that contains the Word of God. I have the Word of God. I work with the light I had. I met another fellow down the road named Chris Emery. He said, I was going to this church over on 29. Listen, it's a majestic looking building with a graveyard out beside it, electronic signs and all that other stuff. He said, I worked with what light I had. He said, then I fooled around, went over at Mountain View one day to go chase girls over there, and wound up running into Jimmy Robbins. He got up there and preached like a wild man. He said, I couldn't get enough of it. I'd been working with light I had. Now I had a Bible. I met Dr. James Mills. What was he doing? He is just old rodeo man that got saved. And he said, I want to have the all of God, not part of God. I want to live for God. He said, I worked with what light I had, and God led me right here to this. I'm telling you, they might not have had much. They might have had burial spices in their hands, but they just wanted to do something for him. And because they did, they showed up right at the right time. I see also the buried and risen Lord, verse 6. Here's the powerful word. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said.
Right.
He's not here. Can you imagine showing up, listen, to a grave to see somebody and to do the burial spices, and you show up, here's a bunch of Roman soldiers fell out all over the place. There's an angel sitting on top of that stone talking about, he's not here, he's risen. Now, you already, heart's beating, you're terrified. Here's that thing sitting there. Here, all these guys fell out. And you wonder if he's going to kill you, too. I mean, you think about things like that. You got burial spices in your hand, and the guy says, oh, by the way, he's not here. Come see the place where the Lord laid. When you walked into that tomb, the thing was chiseled out by Joseph of Arimathea. You go in there, there's a place chiseled out in the wall there where he's going to use for his own burial, and there's set a napkin over there folded up like that. It's a whole body napkin that put over them guys and they bury him like that. There it's set over there. Now, I don't know what you don't describe a touring business, but that thing's a fake.
That's right.
F-A-K-E, fake. So how do you know? Well, the dummies that come up with it, I don't trust to start with.
Yep.
They've been known to lie about the Bible and everything else. But when they took that picture and they put it out there and they put it into a human face and built a face around it, it was Italian. How about that? How'd that happen? How did a born Israelite turn into an Italian in just under 2,000 years? Answer, it was fake from the start.
Right.
There's a reason why they put things behind glass and don't let you touch them, by the way. It's not they worried about the document, they worried about the cloth. They worried you're going to find out what it really is.
Yeah.
Do not touch this. Do not come beside this. There's a reason why.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. If I was in charge of the Smithsonian, they wouldn't mean nothing behind the glass. If you want to see the million-year-old thing, I'd let you hold it. There's a reason why they don't. Because if somebody's going to come through there and realize that's fake, it's not millions of years old. Oh, but we've done this work on it. I'm sure you have, but I'm going to promise you this. Everything you dig up was buried just a little over 5,500 years ago by a flood, of all things. So I don't believe that. That's tough. That's what the Bible says. I don't understand exactly how it all happened, but I understand when God said it happened, it did happen. And I understand this, and the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. There was nobody in there. And the shroud was folded up without a mark on it. So how did it get all that on it, wonder? Let me tell you a little secret. Religious people will try to sell you anything.
Yep.
Saved people will want you to come see the place where the Lord laid. Now, let me point this out to you. This is a powerful word. Now we've got the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ right there. It's sad that we don't preach this as much as we preach verse 19-20. It's sad that we don't get into this a whole lot more because the powerful messenger there that showed down, this radiant messenger, has just talked about him being crucified, buried, and risen again. That is the gospel message. Hold your place here. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you this. This is the gospel that the apostles preached. This is the gospel that Paul preached. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's the gospel that got delivered to him. It's also delivered to you. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain.
Verse 3, for I delivered you first of all
that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. If you want to know why Jesus had to die, you were the reason he had to die. He had to die for your sins. And it says there, he says plainly, and that he was buried. Did Christ get buried? Of course he did. The Bible said he did. They buried him. But here's the part. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel message. Death, burial, resurrection on the third day. Now, as I look at that thing and I see this thing here, he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Do you know that people charge money to see that now? And they don't even have the right one marked. So how do you know? You ain't been there because I know religious people. Come, pay this exorbitant fee. We're going to take you to the Holy Land. We're going to take you over and let you see the Wailing Wall where the Jews pray. Put on this little coaster on your head and you can come right up and you can see everything up here. But don't let us hear you pray out here or we'll arrest you. Come this way. We're going to show you the tomb. Can I tell you where Jesus is buried? So you'll know. It's not the one they take you to. The one that's over there now has been buried up by a Muslim graveyard. Nobody's seen it in thousands of years, or a thousand years or better. Why? Because when they conquered, they wanted to cover that thing up as soon as they got in there. It's amazing you go to Jerusalem and see that many Muslims out there. But don't worry, the one that got up from the grave, he's coming back. And at the other end of that thing, where that thing is, there's an eastern gate over there that's covered up completely now. That they covered it up as well, because they wanted to stop him from coming back. They covered up the grave, filled it in, they've covered up the eastern gates, but there's a time coming, my dear friend, in which Jesus Christ is going to put his feet up Mount of Olives. He's going to march straight down through there. The highway of the holy is coming right through there, and when he gets there, he's going to sing Swing Wide the Gates, and them eastern gates are going to fling open. All the dead Muslims are going everywhere, and he's coming right in there to take Jerusalem back and put his throne there.
Right.
That'll happen at the end of the tribulation. And he'll have his church marching in behind him that he took out on the first of the tribulation that believed this gospel message right here. Notice this, verse 7. Here's what he tells them. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. It says, and they departed from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, I see that we literally have the crucified, buried, and risen Lord. And a lot of people think that stops right there. But it doesn't stop there. He said, go and tell them. Go and tell them. Let me ask you something. Do you know the risen Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
See, the devils know him. They fear and tremble, and they're still going to hell. Satan knows him, but according to Revelation 20, verse 10, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire by him and be there forever. But he knows him. I do believe that most people in this world, once they hear the story of Jesus, believe he lived 2,000 years ago. But I doubt very seriously there's a handful of people in this world, out of the world's 7.2 billion people, that could say they actually know the creator of the planet they stand on.
Right.
Are you one of them? Here's what he said, do. We're going to take this, listen, we see the literal interpretation. They went out and they went running back telling disciples, he is risen. Who do they go tell? The same people you need to go tell today. The discouraged believers. They go back, they go into the upper room. They want to sing all them songs about that, but they don't want to talk about that thing, how they felt for 3 days and three nights when he wasn't there. I'm sure the thoughts, are we next, come to him. I got to thinking the other day about Peter cutting that guy's ear off. You reckon he's sitting up there thinking, they're probably going to arrest me for that. Now that he's gone, even though he healed that man, they'll probably arrest me for it. You know how your mind works, huh? The devil says, yeah, they probably will. And you see a police car ride by your house and you think, they didn't stop that time. The devil said, they'll stop next time. They're going to come get you. I had a friend of mine over at Spartanburg. He's worth more than all of us put together. He called me and said this, my son's in Cherokee County Jail. I said, what for? He said, I don't know, but he had a warrant out for him. Apparently when you go in and you tell your accountant, pay the speeding ticket, and he don't pay it, you get arrested next time they pull you over. Listen to me carefully. You never know when you're going to be the guy in the back of the car. And listen to this. You could be that discouraged believer this time next week.
Right.
But here's the thing. They didn't stay discouraged because somebody was running 90 miles an hour trying to get to the upper room and tell that bunch of discouraged believers, he's alive. No greater message could you do today to find some discouraged believer and let them know that the Lord is alive.
That's right.
It's God spoke to your heart through all this, saying, listen, you need to go tell them discouraged believers. They out of the way. They hurting. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. All they know is, he said, I feel like God's 1,000 miles away. I feel like this. Go encourage them today. The Lord is alive and well.
Amen.
And he's coming back. Amen. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.